Today's scripture reading comes from Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires.
So here we are, a few days after the holiday, Black Friday, right? Okay, perhaps it was Thanksgiving. It's harder to tell these days which holiday is bigger. Thanksgiving, of course, links its tradition back to the Pilgrims and the founding of our country. And Black Friday, well, supposedly it goes back all the way to the 1970s in Philadelphia. But I don't think it really came into existence for most of us until this century, around the 2000s. But I do recall that there were days after Thanksgiving where I grew up right near South Coast Plaza and my family would walk to the mall to see the Christmas lights that day after Thanksgiving. But I think the real terminology of Black Friday didn't fully enter pop culture until that turn of the millennium. But turn it did. Now Thanksgiving has to bow down and cede its time to Black Friday. I think it's become now more like Black November. Really, it went and took over the whole darn month, and clearly it's not even over yet. It's bleeding right into December because we have Cyber Monday to go tomorrow, and then there's this one-off that I suppose somehow is to compensate for all the overreach of consumerism, Giving Tuesday, to try to appeal to our compassionate side for a mere 24 hours before we get back to the Christmas sales. But for the most part, poor Thanksgiving gets bowled over. It's paled in comparison to the big Black Friday madness. Henry G. Britton wrote a piece entitled "The Death of Thanksgiving." It was a powerful and poignant word articulating our culture's clash of consumerism and the attack on Thanksgiving. He wrote that Macy's department store is famous for presenting the Thanksgiving Day parade, but now, it's this year, it's in the 95th year, it's produced its nationally televised parade, which is watched by millions, but it is a culprit for ruining the holiday. Yes, what has the store done? Well, of course, you already know. It opens on Thursday. Instead of spending time watching the parade with family and having a meal together, people are heading to the stores. Someone wrote, "Please write an obituary because I think this death needs to be acknowledged. It is the death of Thanksgiving." Now, this has been going on for a while, so it's not like this is anything new. Other stores are guilty as well. They're almost all guilty. I decided to look up who was actually open on Thursday, and here's what I found. Walmart, I think it was all day long. You had to check the store for local hours. Target opened from 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. and then reopened again at 7 a.m. Best Buy opened to 5 to 1 also and opened at 8 a.m. on Friday. Kohl's, Black Friday, the Thursday opened at 5 p.m. and the Black Friday sale started at 12:01. I guess it just stayed open the rest of the night. Macy's opened at 5 p.m. JCPenney's opened at 2 p.m. Old Navy, which is really hard to believe, I don't know if this is everywhere, but said Old Navy opened at 3 p.m. and stayed open overnight until 11 p.m. on Black Friday. I couldn't believe it. Any of these stores want to close? Apple said they would stay closed, but not the New York Fifth Avenue Apple or the Royal Hawaiian in Honolulu and the Foreign Shop in Vegas. So you could still get to Apple if you wanted to. Trump announced this year that there is a war on Thanksgiving. And guess what? I totally agree with him. I just am not certain that it was the liberals who waged this war. Because I think it's the stores who decided to pull their employees in when they should have been with their families, stuffing their bellies with turkey and stuffing. However, if no one wanted to shop on Thanksgiving, then no stores would be open. The true Thanksgiving killer is the person who leaves the table and heads to the mall. If that's the case, then the culpability is spread thin. But Macy's and the gang can't pass the buck if they're unwilling to pass on the buck. Because let's face it, they all have the ability to do what other stores did, along with that list of who was opened. I found a list of who was closed. Costco, Nordstrom's, Home Depot, Lowe's, they all remained closed. REI, there you go. Did you go looking and figure that out? REI, did you hear that? They go out and volunteer. So they could do this, but it's the stores ultimately who drive this. People wouldn't go out if there weren't stores open. You guys already know how I feel about Walmart. They've led the way driving this frenzy. They want people to go crazy about their merchandise. They even encourage it. Back in 2006, things turned violent. You might remember these stories. A man shopping at Best Buy was recorded on video assaulting someone. Shoppers in Walmart in Columbus, Ohio, started lining up at 9 p.m. 2,000 people showed up. They actually crushed an employee on their way in and wouldn't stop. Also in 2006, that was when there was a gun shooting in Toys R Us here in Southern California. And that was 2006. In 2008, that was the time. 2008 was when the people flooded the Walmart and trampled the 34-year-old employee. And it was also 2008 where the Toys R Us shooting occurred. Then in 2011, there was another death. There was two in 2012, one in 2013, three in 2016, and two last year in 2018. I was hoping for Tracy that I would be able to find the numbers for this year, but I couldn't find anything yet reported. But according to the Black Friday death count website, because there is one, as of last year, we were at 12 deaths and 117 injuries. So yes, there are casualties of the war on Thanksgiving. All this, right? All this so we can get a steal of a deal. I heard NPR talking about how Black Friday actually works because prices drop about 67%, but profits never do. That means that the stores just jack up the prices and then they lower them so people believe they are getting a good deal. Apparently, we consumers have no real concept of the price of any item. We will go to extremes to get what we think a deal is, even when it actually isn't. So what is the faux cost savings costing us? Is it the death of Thanksgiving? Should we be in mourning Black Friday, perhaps adequately named after all, this Black Month? Well, Britain says we must look around and see that the evidence of gratitude being replaced by good deals, family meals losing competition with shopping sprees, the gifts of life and health are taken advantage because we want to get a shiny, expensive new gift. And because all of us are dealing with our own struggles, we look for that cheap high that comes buying something called retail therapy. I wonder, is retail therapy really the best way to get high? We've sold out Thanksgiving for that, but because it's preparing ourselves for Christmas, right? That's why we're all doing it. We're just getting ready. But did we kill Thanksgiving so we could celebrate Christmas? Doesn't sound right. Doesn't sound right at all. This is the time to prepare ourselves for Christmas. But if we're willing to sell out time with our family, or worse, sell out somebody else's time with their family, who really pays the price? It's low-wage workers that are caught in a system that they cannot escape. We pulled people out of their homes so they could prep store sales or worse on so many of those places, open those very stores on Thanksgiving Day because we had to get that deal on either a flat screen TV, a tablet, those portal things, which I don't think anyone ever uses, but you see commercials for at Christmas time. Or the Instapot, is that big again this year? I don't even know. I don't even know what's under the tree this year. But I have a feeling that lots of people aren't actually buying gifts during this Black Friday madness. I think they're out there to buy more stuff for themselves. Now, you gotta hand it. There's actually this one, I don't even remember which commercial it was for, but it was a car manufacturer that just named the reality. Maybe you saw it too. They showed off people buying themselves big, bowed luxury cars. And they said stuff in the commercial like, "I really have been good this year. I deserve this." And I was like, wow, at least they're honest. Big bows. Oh my goodness, I got it from myself. Get whatever you want. It's all on sale. But the question remains, do we really need all this stuff to be happy? Is this the best way to say I love you or I love myself? With stuff. Is that the reason why Jesus was born into this world? So we could share more stuff, spend more money, and spend less time with our families? Is Thanksgiving dead? That only begs the next question. Is Christmas dead too? I'm not talking about the war on Christmas. I think it's so ironic that the Prince of Peace gets lost in a war on Christmas. People try to convince us still that this war on Christmas is about whether or not we can say Happy Holidays or Merry Christmas, as if those phrases are going to destroy our holy day or somehow win the war when we say Merry Christmas and we get a Merry Christmas back. Our savior of Christmas just happens to be America's most famous businessman, right? Is that right? Well, we're fighting the wrong battles because the war on Christmas is not about how we greet one another. It's not being waged by Jews who wish you'd just recognize Hanukkah. The poor Jews, their own holiday got usurped as well. Hanukkah is a minor holiday in the Jewish tradition, and yet it gets trumped up so it can be targeted for consumer consumption. It's not the Jews, it's not the Muslims, it's not the atheists who've waged this war on Christmas. This is a covert war. It seems the battleground is being played out in our very homes, in our own minds, and we barely even know it's happening. You might say it's a conspiracy, because somehow Christmas has been sieged. Popular culture would like us to think the god of Christmas is Santa Claus, and the only way we can pay homage is by buying more gifts to fuel his sleigh. But our holiday has been usurped. It used to be Jesus' birthday, but now it's my birthday, and it's your birthday. It's a gift-giving fury because it's everyone's birthday, fueled by a market of shiny new things that we just have to have. If it weren't so serious, it'd almost be funny, because they managed to take the meaning of Christmas and almost entirely turn it around. You remember our story of Christmas? Our story came out of our Bible, the Christian Christmas, the story of Jesus, which in itself is actually an attack on the rich and powerful. Jesus, who came into this world with nothing, was hardly noticed by anyone because people were too busy to stop and see. Born in the barn, smelly, unclean, to parents that nobody had ever heard of, who arrived on the back of a donkey. I mean, imagine that. We romanticize the story as though there's something idyllic about being laid in a feeding trough. But that couldn't have been easy. When you think about it, it just kind of blows your mind. But by the way we tell the story, the shepherds look on, the angels sing, the three kings show up with expensive gifts, and the star shines brightly. It's beautiful for a Christmas card. But the problem is that we actually couldn't choose between the two birth stories, so we just merged them all together. But in reality, Jesus didn't get gifts at his birth. That was Epiphany, remember? Those wise ones left the comfort of their own land to follow that star. It wasn't like they showed up a few hours later. It took them days to get there, as the story tells us. They didn't get there till Epiphany, 12th night. That's the day you give the gifts. But that's just one part of the story in one gospel, and it exists later. Those gifts were actually pretty symbolic, if you think about it. But somehow, we turned it into the story of gift giving and gift getting. And we forgot about that poor baby and everything that his birth represented. The situation seems hopeless. It's so sad. The death of Thanksgiving, the war on Christmas. It feels like we've already lost. I mean, can we really battle back at this point? Consumerism, money, profit, hungry profiteers who changed the value of Christmas and took its name. It's almost hopeless. Jamie? You got this? It seems hopeless, but it's not. It's not hopeless. We have more power than we think. And it starts with the candle. The smallest flicker around a comparatively small wreath. This single flame, so fragile. So could it actually be that that little candle on our Advent wreath has enough power to transform our holy day back into the mystical moment it once was? A splash of purple against the sea of red and green. Remember, the red for sales and the green for dollars. The sparkle and glitz. Is that splash of purple enough? Well, it's up to you, and it's up to me to find out. The scripture calls to us. You know what time it is. It is now the moment to wake from sleep. Out of the darkness, a light shines. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light to conspire to take back Christmas. To turn from worshiping the gods of consumerism to fully worship the God of light, the God of hope, of peace, of joy, and love. Because mark my words, that baby will be born again. The light will break forth. The candle, the tiny little flame of hope, will lead the way if we let it. It's up to us to care for that light, to nurture it and feed it. Hope. The day is near. The conspiracy has begun. Amen.